Sudha Murthy, ma'am, has been a dream guest for me ever since I started this podcast. She's a legendary author who's also the wife to the equally legendary founder of Infosys, Mr. Narayan Murthy. Speaking to her kind of felt like speaking to a grandmom figure in my own life. She was very calming, very relaxed. And from that extremely relaxed place, ma'am shared some extremely deep nuggets of wisdom. That's what I want to share with you through this episode. It left me feeling very, very peaceful, very, very hopeful about the future. And speaking about hope, this is a very important moment in the story of the Beer Biceps team. We've tied up officially with Ready Set Jet, an international cosmetics brand. Very proud to announce this partnership. It's founded by another trailblazing woman, Shalini Vadhera. If you want to know more about the RSJ products, please check out the links in the description given below. But for now, I'm going to let you absorb some of that peace and wisdom from Sudha Murthy, ma'am. This podcast is as special to me as any podcast has ever been. I hope you enjoy it, and I hope that you absorb everything that this one has to offer. Sudha Murthy, ma'am, on The Ranveer Show. Miss Sudha Murthy, ma'am, just speaking with you is an honor. Hosting you on The Ranveer Show is an even bigger honor. Thank you for being here, ma'am.
Thank you. Very
nice. You know, usually what I do with podcasts is we kind of warm it up for our guest and then eventually we give them a heavy question. With you, even before this interview started, you've made me very, very comfortable. You've made me calm. So I have to ask you a heavy question right up front.
Fine, no problem.
What is the meaning of life according to you? And I'll tell you why I ask you that, because there's a lot of people my age, there's a lot of people younger than me who are dealing with something called existential issues. We hear a lot of people say, what is the meaning of life? Why are we working so hard? What is happening? Someone who's had a journey like yourself, I'd love to hear your perspective, ma'am.
It is like, you know, defining life is like blind people identifying the elephant. Someone says ear is elephant, someone says the tail is elephant, someone says the leg is elephant. Everybody has their own way of defining life because it is with respect to their experiences. Even though they may be sisters, they are sisters, but life for both sisters will not be the same. Okay? Life for husband and wife will not be the same. So, everybody's life is a journey and it is a marathon that person has to run. It is not the father, mother, husband, wife, children, sister, siblings, nothing like that. So, my definition of life is entirely left to my experience and highly subjective. You cannot contest it, like saying that, how can it be? That is the way I look at it. The way you look at it is life.
Right.
You know, that's the way I define. What makes a life better or happy or is the contentment. Like beginning of the day, I get up and I say, look, today let me do some work which is useful to society, which is uplifting me also, which I learn a little more than normal. Okay? And when at the end of the day, I say, did I achieve what I aimed, and if I achieved 80% of it, I feel happy, and I find life is nice. This
beautiful.
Is my definition.
May I be rude enough to ask you, Mr.
No, you don't have to. You don't have to use all those adjectives. You can directly ask. I would like to ask these questions.
Okay.
See, I was a computer science teacher in the university, so I know I'm used to students talking to me directly. You don't have to be so formal with me. Directly you ask.
I will try my best, ma'am. I'm going to be 100% honest. There are certain podcasts which I'm just hyped about from the previous day. This is definitely one of those, because this is honestly something I visualized for myself. This is a very big day for my career. Let me be very direct with you about the question I was going to ask.
Fine.
What do you think is Mr. Narayan Murthy's meaning of life? I understand your meaning of life. And do you think it's the same? And is that why, you know, y'all are considered one of the country's most successful relationships? Like that y'all have an aligned goal?
I know, it's very hard to tell 100% what is his concept, but I can make out staying with him for 42 years and more than that, 43 years, by the way. I'm moving him for a long time, maybe 50 years or something. So I can understand for him, life is a passion on a matter which he takes. And, you know, and he works extremely hard on that, neither to left nor to right, only keeping that as the aim in life and gives 100% to that. And that, you know, he believes that creation of wealth is to the nation is very important. It is not enjoying wealth what we create, that we both of us do not consider is important. Whereas creating jobs, creating wealth, bringing people from lower level, economic level to a better level is meaning to him probably in life. It means a lot to him. He says, if somebody has to respect you, then you should show that quality in you. For example, I used to tell about 40, 50, 45 years back, I said, Murthy, when we go out abroad, people don't respect. They don't know, particularly in the Western country, they never still respect. And now when we go, oh, you're from India, you have Indian movies on the TV, on the air flight. You get Indian Jain vegetarian, you get Indian vegetarian, so many options. He says, why it happened? Because Indians showed their capability. Okay, well, with respect to software, he talks. Other fields are also there, but we are software people. We created software, we sold the software, we worked very hard. We showed that our quality of software is good. Then people started respecting. To earn respect, you have to work passionately, uplifting yourself to the goal. That's what he believes is the concept of life for him.
Wow. Okay. I have so many questions about the marriage, the relationship in general, which I will pick your mind about a little later. I have to first ask you something more related to yourself. I know you're a movie buff. And I also know, you know, the amount of positivity and motivation you put into all your books. So, and I'm the same. That's the kind of energy I try putting in my creative work as well. There's always a certain underlying sense of upliftment or positivity. And movies are a big source of where it comes from, you know, particular kinds of movies. So I'm going to ask you from your perspective, is that why you watch movies? To get a certain sense of perspective, or do you just purely enjoy it?
From the childhood, I used to see it. It's not that later I started seeing. I always enjoyed movies. Okay. Because, you know, in childhood, I used to enjoy the literature, in the storyline. Then the songs, you know, sahitya in the songs, the tunes, you know, and then, of course, acting. And later, you know, when I was in teenage, maybe we saw a movie by the name Sangam, so we could see Paris, London. In those days, it was so hard to go, you know. At least you can see all those things through movies. Later part of my life, I went on thinking more analytically. And that is the way how I have looked at movies. Movies are just not a 3 hours entertainment. It is much more. Because it affects people, particularly teenagers, in rural area a lot more. And it has to have a positive message. I always believe in it. You show something wrong on the screen, you know, it may be for fun, it may be for creativity, but many people will pick up those bad habits.
Do you believe movies and just content in general carries karma? That's something I believe in.
No, karma and all, I do not know. I always know my work.
Okay.
And I always believe that, you know, the content of the movie should be something nice than only entertaining and making money and showing which really affects the society is not correct, because it has a great influence on our people.
Got it. Can I ask you about the 5 character building movies of your life? Like if you could go back out of all the movies you've watched.
A lot of them. How can I say? I started seeing movie. Earliest movie I remember in 1958, I saw Madhumati. I was 8 years old. From that day to this day, I'm now 70. 58 means I was 8 years old. The last 62 years, I was in so many movies. You know, Lagan was a great movie, actually, according to me. Lagan was a great movie. Aradhana of Rajesh Khanna was a great movie. Okay, I liked it, okay. Mughal-e-Azam was a great movie. Hum Dono was a great movie. Then Naya Daur was a great movie, Vajanti Mala and Dilip Kumar. Ganga Jamuna was a great movie. Oh, so the list is not five. Then Sadhna's very pure, Parak was a great movie, very nice movie, Parak. Where Sadhna is a 1950, 60s or 59 or something, you know. Mm. I'm talking on that side. Then, okay, Dilwale Dilaniya is a nice movie, you know. It's a DDLJ was a great movie, okay. Alia Bhatt's movie on Pakistan and India.
Razi.
Razi was a great movie. It's a beautiful movie, excellent acting. It was excellent acting. She acted very well in that. And a very good movie, very well-knitted movie. Dhoni movie is very good, very inspiring movie. Shah Rukh Khan and Preeti Zinta's on the border. What is that
movie? Veer Zara.
Veer Zara was a great movie. The tunes were given by, I think, Madan Mohan, I suppose, which we kept for 25 years the same tunes. Reused it. Fantastic movie.
Beautiful. So you've named a lot of romantic movies. So that's probably something I've gained from your answer, that you enjoy your romantic films.
No, not only romantic. Why? Romance may be one part of it. Like take for example, Razi. Where is the romance in that? Hardly any romance. Okay. Or Dhoni movie. Little bit romance. Romance will not rule all the time your heart. It will be for some period of your life, but there's a lot more later. For example, Aradhana is a small romance movie. There is fantastic romance initially, but later the struggle of a mother, Hum Dono, the struggle of a wife. Okay? So, Nargis Dutt movies I used to enjoy a lot, actually. That's right. So, it is not all the time romance and ending in marriage. That is not my aim. Romance is part of life, but more than that, life is bigger than romance.
Like, can you elaborate on this thought? Life is bigger than romance? Because that's not how a lot of young people look at life.
Romance comes when you are young, you won't realize. You feel, oh, this will be 100 saal pehle mujhe tumse pyar tha, aaj bhi hai aur kal bhi rahega. Okay? Aisa nahi hota hai. Kyunki when you are young, you are not aware what life is. You think, oh, you are with your parents, girl, particularly girl's point of view, I will tell you, or boy's point of view. Your parents take care of yourself, your needs, etc. Then you'll be in some job. She will be in some job. You meet her. There's a nice movie on that. That is Rajesh Khanna and Sharmila Tagore's A Ghar Hai Amar Manasika or something. But Avishkar. Name of the movie is Avishkar. So when you meet a person in dating time, you meet 2 hours a day or a few hours a week. So you put up your best in that. And even though you make a mistake, you know, the boyfriend will forgive you. When he makes a mistake, you forgive. The moment you are married, you together have to face life. And life doesn't show any concession. You are a big man's child, so life doesn't show any concession. Disease does not show any concession, okay? Old age does not show any concession. Life is quite hard. Hard doesn't mean bad. You have to struggle. To survive in this life, you have to struggle. You have to things may not happen the way you desire, you plan, you dream. It may happen in some other way. You have to face it, accept failures. Then you should move on in life. Forgive is okay. Forget is better. Move on is the best.
Okay.
Life, you should go on, move on in life. You can't get stuck in a place. And that's the reason after romance, you meet real life. Where you have to live with that person under the same chhat 24/7. And then each of us will recognize each other's faults. And you should learn and you should mature enough to understand that it comes as a package. A human being, anybody, husband comes with a package. Wife comes with a package. His own nature, his plus, his minus. Together, it's a package. You can't say, only I want this, the rest I don't want. You can't do. Same thing for a wife. And you should understand each other's negative things and say, I will accept negative things. I don't expect him to change. I rather accept his negative things. And how we can adjust to each other's negative things and move on in life. That's what I consider.
That's a beautiful answer, especially considering the big adventure you've been on in your life. This is a slightly difficult question. I'm only asking you this because you're a writer. So, you know, maybe, and I wouldn't ask everyone this question, but since you have writing experience, May I ask you, what would you define your life as before, during, and after the birth of Infosys in one sentence each? So if you had to define...
Better one sentence is not possible because okay. entire thing, you know, I can explain. In one sentence, I can say adventurous then.
Only okay.
one sentence. One okay. word, adventurous. Okay. Mm. But much more than patience, sacrifice, I can tell you, patience, sacrifice, and unconditional love.
Mm. Unconditional love for what?
For everything. Unconditional love for your husband. Unconditional love for, of course, every mother does unconditional love for her children. Unconditional love for your company.
Mm.
And unconditional love for your children. All unconditional love. That's the reason at the end of, when I turn back and see in life, I worked hard. I had a lot of patience. I hardly get upset. Okay. Then I have unconditional love and passion to help others. Mm. That's my, I define my life.
You know, ma'am, very little is known about you from your childhood and your teenage. The only thing that's known about you is, you know, that you got your donation and philanthropic ideals in your childhood. But what else do you think went right, according to you? Like, you know, if you had to gauge your own childhood and teenage, what has gone correct for you? Which, you know, the older version of yourself thanks your parents for or your family for?
Every day I do that. First, I thank my grandparents. My mother's father and mother, they were extremely pious people in a village. And my grandfather never went out of Karnataka. Only he studied in Pune for some time, 5 years. And after that, he never went out of Karnataka. He was a school teacher. Okay.
Mm.
I grew up with him. And he taught me many good things in life. And I think most of the things what I have today is because of them. Like my grandfather told me when I was a young child, you know, he used to call everybody up, even a child who is 2 years old. Okay. He said, never use a singular to anybody. It is not correct. You have to always respect the Atma inside. Okay. And my grandfather taught me seeking knowledge is very important. He taught me simple way of living. And he had only 3 dresses. He never used to buy more than that. And third thing is love for books. He taught me love for books. My grandmother taught me be practical in life. She never went to school, but she was very practical. She said, how to run a household, how compassionate you should be with the people who are hungry. Okay. How you should extend yourself when somebody is in difficulty. So my grandparents, whatever they taught me, I think I'm their product. My grandfather told me when I was 6 years old, beta, he used to drink tea, and one day the milkman did not come. So he had a headache. I asked him, why have you a headache? He said, look, I'm addicted to tea. Every day I have to take tea. And now my day will not start without tea. He said, beta, I want to tell you something in life. Never get anything addiction. Don't ever make addiction to tea or coffee, not liquor. Nowadays people talk about liquor. But he said, not even for tea and coffee. And to this day, 70 years, I have never tasted tea and coffee wow. in my life. Wow. I get up in the morning, drink a glass of water. That's all.
Mm.
And then I want to thank my parents. My father was a doctor and an atheist. He always taught me God is not in the temple, church or masjid. God is always with the patient. If you help poor people, God is already there. And if you do your work without thinking too much of philosophy, your life itself becomes philosophical. Go on helping people. Your life is, you learn philosophy in helping others, which probably I followed. That's when I said, I don't know karma and all those, nothing I know. I know help people and be happy in that. Okay. Third one, my mother was a school teacher. She was also a school teacher. She said, if you have good habits from the beginning, then it becomes easy for you to take it forward and introduce that to your children. Like you have to get up in the morning, have a bath, then only you should have breakfast. Okay. Then everyday routine, you have to write 25 lines and 10 namaskara to God. You know, I did for a long time, but namaskara, I continue to do even today. And then my mother would, don't spend money without reason, unless it's a big reason. Okay. I'm not a spendthrift at all. So I really want to thank my parents, my grandparents, and my teacher. Raghavendra Viranaikar was my teacher. And he told me, Sudha, your mathematics is good. Mathematics is the queen of all subjects. Please love her. Others will follow. And which I followed, I suppose. I want to thank many people. And these are few people whom I am telling.
What about marriage, like especially your early marriage? What do you feel that added to your life? Like the way you say that, you know, your teacher gave you this, your parents gave you this, your grandparents gave you this. I'm sure...
What marriage has given me?
Yeah, a husband and wife always learn from each other.
Well, I learned from Murthy that, you know, you should not talk just too much. You should always talk if somebody is listening. Otherwise, you know, I was a fun-loving guy. I used to talk a lot with all the friends. But over the period of time, I realized if someone is listening to you, then only you should talk. Second thing is Murthy says, if you want to achieve anything in life, it is not the money. It is the passion that takes you up. And for passion, you require sacrifice. Your own sacrifice and people behind you or with you sacrifice. Like Murthy's passion made him to build Infosys. And of course, we sacrificed a lot at home. Similarly, I did a lot in philanthropy. Murthy sacrificed a lot for me. So passion along with the family sacrifice can only take you up. You say, I can have the cake and eat it too. You can't do that if you want to excel.
Ma'am, can you go back to that beginning of Infosys and on a very personal perspective, what was going on in your head when Mr. Narayan Murthy came up to you and said that, okay, this is the plan. This is what we're going to do. What was your first instinct? And did you visualize all this happening? Like, did you have a gut feeling that it would go down this path?
No, I never thought. I never dreamt of a company. No, it is all Murthy's dream. I only knew I had to help him a lot because he was working hard, he was passionate and he wants to do something. Because in entire community of ours, nobody did business. So I did not know fundamental of business, anything ABC of business.
But, you know, what were your early, I mean, for lack of a better word, brutal learnings, like, you know, at the start of this, what were some tough learnings for you?
A lot, actually. You have a small children, family, you don't have money. Your husband travels 200 days in a year, 250 days in a year. Then you stayed in Bangalore, there was no telephone. It was impossible to get telephone in 1985. Then there was no car. Okay, the children are not well. Then I had to manage in a small salary, both children, and I was not able to work because the children were very young. So there are many problems and we do not know the future, whether the company will do well or not, or will remain like this forever in our life, hand to mouth living. There are many, many problems. But you know, nothing affected me much because I always believe that's okay. That's okay. Let us see after 2-3 years, you know, that kind.
And when did you realize that things are picking up? Like, you know, was there any incident?
After 10, 11 years.
Wow. So, I mean, was there any, like in that first 10-year period, I'm sure there would have been some tough days. Would you be open to...
Hiccups were always there in business because, I used to run the house and also mostly Murthy used to have some... Their team used to have a lot of difficulties getting a client and we did not have a place as an office. We had to rent an office. And, you know, it was hard, you know, running any small business. What everybody has, and we had same with no guarantee that you'll become successful. Okay.
No, and did you have moments where, you know, you had to, you know, motivate your husband, because that's usually what happens in marriages. And I'll be very honest with you about one thing, at least kids my age, especially men my age, have grown up watching this movie about Spider-Man, you know, where Spider-Man's going out. And have you seen the original Spider-Man, like the first one? You know, and so he's going out and saving the world, but the love of his life is staying back, and she helps him through it. She motivates him. So do you think you guys had your Spider-Man Mary Jane equation back in the day?
Yeah, like, you know, sometimes when chips were down, I used to tell Murthy, why do you worry? I have a degree. I can always work. And, you know, We made our own house, actually, this two-bedroom house we bought. We built it, actually, in minimum money. So I told Murthy, look, I sold all my shares and bought, other companies, Tata shares, everything, and bought a small house. I said, Murthy, we are rent free house, okay? And I'm capable of working. You are capable of working somewhere. Why do you worry? Our requirements are very, very few. Why do you worry? Just don't worry about us. Don't worry about children. We'll do in our salary. Because I always believe that it is not the money which makes you happy. It's the courage which is more important in life than money. Okay? Courage is something which keeps you home, which keeps the hope. Or hope is the one which gives courage. Either way, you can talk. So I'm always positive thinking. So I said, okay, why do you worry? We'll wait for 2-3 years. It doesn't matter. We may not make so much money, but we'll make enough money to stay in our house and, our children will study. We don't have big dreams of having a bungalow, Mercedes car, nothing. My dad bought a Fiat car and gave it to us. And we couldn't afford a driver. I used to drive. I said, do you think it's more than enough? That's enough because my expectations in life were very, very small. And that's the reason I was always happy. Today you ask me, young girls, they say, our husband, the person who married me should have his own house, should have a car, you should have these things. I never had such things. Because I always believed if you are happy, whether you are in a rented house or your own house, you enjoy life. If you are unhappy, then you may be in Mahal, but you won't enjoy it. It is not the place, it is not the money, it is the person who is important, with whom you enjoy life.
Do you think that's what's going wrong with this whole generation? You know that they call our whole generation the mental health issues generation, right? And a lot of people, attribute it to social media. A lot of people attribute it to the pace of life now. But what's your opinion on this?
My opinion is again subjective. What happens, when this generation is, they have never shared in life any difficulties. Like we were 4 children to our parents, okay? So, and my father was the only working person. So whatever is there, we used to share. And sharing became caring, We built up relation with sharing. Room sharing, if you have a child, will get a room. Or 4 of us used to get 1 room, okay? So we'll adjust, share. And again, society, it's only not my house. Whole society was like that after independence. Okay, I'm born in 1950, just after independence. That time, the scenario when you're children is so different than the scenario what we have in independent India after 70 years. So children, this generation have been brought up with luxury, with lot more money, lot more comfort and less in number. There are only 1 child at home or maybe 2 children maximum. Ours was minimum 4. I have 75 first cousins. So it was like everybody has a family tree. I have a family forest. So we used to get lost in the forest. So the whole economic condition of the country was different. Today the economic condition of the country and the family are different. So we should not say something is wrong with this generation. It reflects what is there in the West now, where the families are small, you have plenty things, everything is plenty. Then you don't value it. Okay. So when you are brought up in prosperity, then nothing makes you happy. For us, going for a holiday once a year, okay, somewhere, it was a great thing. Today, you take your children going for a holiday, Delhi, Agra, Nainital, anywhere, they don't get happy. Then they say, you take them to Singapore, Malaysia, maybe a little happy. Next year, they are unhappy. Then you have to take them to Europe. They may be Delta happy. So every year, their expectation in life, parents also increase, situation increase, affordability increase. So it goes on changing. So a stage comes where nothing makes them happy and they get into, small things happen and they get into depression. Small things happen. Oh, I didn't get. We out of 100, 50, 70, we never used to get. 30 we used to get. So we're used for rejection. Okay. And we're also used to share. We used to enjoy it. Today, children are scared for rejection. So any rejection, he appeared for the exam, he didn't pass, he dies. She appeared for the exam, she got low marks, she attempts suicide. Love affair failure, okay, she wants to commit suicide. No, it is so what? Nahi to aur sahi. Life should move on. And life offers you many things which you would never expect, including Corona. Including Corona. Similarly, in life, you have control only on 10 to 15% of the events in your life. And that is too on yourself. Like you can get up, have bath, have good habits, read well, don't smoke, drink, and don't make any nasha. All these are in your hand. But the events, what happens apart from that, is not in your hand. For that, you should go on adjusting. Adjusting and nice to people.
Ma'am, like, you know, you said that, like, how you keep going to the next stage and then you have expectations, and when they're not met, you get unhappy because of that. And that's probably the core of why all these things are happening. And that's why, you know, we're seeing so much sadness in this whole generation. So the question is, on a very daily level, what do you think is one mentality switch that people can apply that, you know, maybe you learned, say, in your 20s? I'd love to know that, actually. If you could dial back to your the version of yourself in your 20s, what was one daily mentality switch that you had applied?
Well, when I was 20, I was in college. Okay, I was in college, and you know, I joined engineering college where there are no girls. So I decided I should excel in my education. So next test was awesome. That means neither to left nor to right. I concentrated only on studies, nothing else. Once a year, dad used to take us out for masala dosa. Okay, after our exam, after getting a first rank, that was a treat. After you get a first rank, dad will say, okay, now you got a first rank, let us treat everyone. That is a masala dosa in the hotel once a year. We look forward for that. Okay? Look at the simple way of living. I had three sets of saris and I used to wash them at home, read at home, help my mom in the kitchen to some extent, and be happy for the college where I used to go to study well. In case I don't do well anyway, I used to think, so what? I may lose the battle, but I'll win the war. That was my attitude. And that is also even today my attitude. That what if I fail anyway? So what? I lost the battle, but I'll win the war.
Like basically you always thought positive and you thought long term you'll be fine. Like you had that vision.
Yeah. Always I felt it doesn't matter, because I used to look in a different way. Right from the childhood, I used to tell. Life is a big, assume 28 years one lives. Suppose something happens 1 year wrong, it doesn't matter. There's so much are there, no? Why we are in a rush? As if this is the last day. Unit is the last day, so what? And why should I show anybody I'm smarter than you? I never had that. I should show you I'm smarter than you, no. I'm happy because I'm good in my work. I'm happy because I'm passionate. I'm happy because I love to learn. The day you stop love to learn, you become old. Learning new things every day keeps me young.
Ma'am, so it's strange you said that, because that was going to be my next question for you anyway. I feel like you're a lifelong learner, and the case with lifelong learners who are writers is that they transform all their immediate learnings into books, into content. So you're coming out with a new book right now. Firstly, what's in that book? Secondly, I know it's for children. And thirdly, what are the adult lessons that you put in it?
Well, this is Grandparents' Bags of Stories. This is the series of Grandmother's Bags of Stories. This is the second book in the series. During COVID time, when there is a lockdown, grandchildren come to grandparents' house. And how grandparents help others in COVID time. And along with that, every day they will tell a story. The stories are about 17 or 18, and every story has some meaning, you know, positive meaning, because COVID time people are always negative. So stories make things positive.
So you packaged all your positivity from this phase of your life into those books, into all books, but this book for sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Have you ever had critics come and tell you that maybe you're too positive? Because that's what tends to happen nowadays, especially like even with me, like if I'm putting out content that's feel good, I have a lot of people saying, no, this is all false. This is fake positivity. But I'm like, no, that's actually how I think. So have you ever faced something like that?
No one has told up to this day, but if they say, you know, it is half glass water, half glass empty kind, you know, so I don't worry. So God. This is a book for children, actually. It's a book for children.
Got it. why would you tell parents to purchase this? Like, what in it, can a child learn?
I will tell you why parents should buy. Because in lockdown, children get a lot of time. And in that time, this is the best time for them to read. Reading habit, you should inculcate them in this period. And every lesson tells something related with, like, how rice was found out. Okay, how the wheat was found out. How important there are certain lessons. You should have many people in your life. Then you should have smaller things. For example, you should build a building with many pillars, not with one pillar. Okay? Because in emergency, you require many pillars. So all these stories of different types have come. So it is entertaining, and also it is useful for children to lead a better quality of life. That's what I feel.
No, and I feel like it's these children's books, it's these Disney movies that come out that really give you very, very important life lessons. But when you're a child, you don't realize what you're learning. When you grow up, I feel a big bunch of your ethics and morals come from these experiences. So that's probably what you're trying to do, right? It's some very heavy life.
I don't really try. I feel like writing, I write, and it works out that way. I don't keep an aim and write that way.
Okay, got it. Ma'am, so again, at this stage of your life, what do you think is your evolution? Like, what are you learning at this stage? Because if you're a lifelong learner...
Yeah, you know? I'm learning more about... I want to talk about books now, because writing made me to realize many things. That in India, we require English writers, because majority of the metro cities people go to English medium schools. And once I write in English, they will be translated into all Indian languages, vernacular languages. So, I have written books for children, 5 or 6 books. Like, Magic Drum, The Bird with the Golden Wings, Grandmother's Bags of Stories, then Grandparents' Bags of Stories, then single books like How Onion Got Its Layers and How Why Sea Became Salty. Okay. These are the kinds of books I write so that children will enjoy, which is very much Indian, and in English language. For example, when you take Western English books, they write which is their land, their culture related books. They are connected to that. Whereas in India, we require books like that, which is connected to our own culture, but it is a language in English that way. So this has made me very happy that children enjoy these books.
Ma'am, do you think the children of today, and I'm also talking about myself, I feel like in comparison to you, I'm also a child, but do you feel every younger generation is very different from yours? I'm sure there are negatives, but what are the positives? Like, do you think, that because of the internet, because of just their having so much information around them, they think differently?
Yes, of course. Things differently, they do think. Because of the information, knowledge means information. They have information.
But are there likes and dislikes different? Because you've been writing for a while. So have you seen your end consumer's mind change? Like, have you seen your customer's mind change?
I don't know. That I don't do. Because for me, writing is important. After I write, I don't know. I've not got any feedback that way. But I have received many people telling me that reading that book, it has changed their children. Reading that book, they themselves have changed. People have come and told me. But I myself have not done any survey on that.
But from all the younger people you meet, like, at least this is what I see. Like, even I'm 27. And even if I talk to 22-year-olds, I feel like it's a whole other generation. If I talk to 18-year-olds, it's another whole generation. So, I am very hopeful about the future of India. But what's your take on it? Are we going to see maybe 100 more Infosys-style companies? Are we going to, go into a very golden time?
No, I really do not know, because I don't think that way anything. I always think what is there today, you see that. What is possible to help others, do that. What you can write and convey your ideas to others. And writing children's book is not easy, because children's mind is like a wet wall. So you should be very careful what you write. Okay. And get feedback from them because they always tell the truth compared to us. That's all I look into that. Okay.
Beautiful. So, Sudha ma'am, on this show, we have a section where we actually take questions from our Twitterverse. And there's some heavy questions that have come in for you. But feel free to answer them however you want. If you want to make your answers short, long, it's completely
short,
up to you. Okay, cool. We will do that. The first question is from Yashvi Bagga, who's also a YouTuber. She has asked a very straight question, which is that did you ever face any kind of relationship problems?
In all marriages, in husband and wife, it will be there. But you should know how to handle it. There is no marriage without ups and downs.
But what is the core of handling it? Like you just stay calm during those situations?
No. You should understand the problem of the others. Put yourself in the shoes and then you'll cool down and then you discuss.
So the next question is, if you had to just in short explain how you manage two kids, a career, supporting an entrepreneurial husband, and you know all your other artistic endeavors, what would you know say? What is the core of that whole process for you?
My parents lived downstairs. I stayed upstairs, so they helped me a lot. It was the greatest.
When did this realization of giving back to community arise? This is from Y Satwik. And were there any inner battles, throughout that whole process when you made it your goal? Did you have any inner battles yourself about, okay, how are we going to give back? Or, you know, on a very personal level, what did you think?
Somebody reads my book, Amma, What's Your Duty? It's a part of my book, one of the book, where I've described why I started Infosys Foundation. And the subsequent books have showed the ups and, you know, the difficult portion of handling people coming to me. There are books on that I've written. The Day I Stopped Drinking Milk, 3,000 Stitches, Old Man and His God. They're all books related to my work.
Ma'am, like even today, okay, the next question is from Chitranj Motwani. He asks, even today, how have you stayed grounded? Like, how have you stayed humble through it all? I know you answered it, but maybe you can highlight it again for the question.
Because I consider myself, I'm a very ordinary person. There's nothing great about me and I believe in it. It's not I'm just talking about it. I believe in it. So there's nothing special. So I'm always grounded.
Got it. Okay, this is a beautiful question from Dolly Aswani. She asks that you had interacted with Dr. Abdul Kalam as well. What had you spoken to about him? And could you elaborate a little bit on him? Like, you know, what was he like?
He was a very simple, passionate man. And he always thought about country. He always thought about country. So whenever I talked to him, he said, how to improve our country? How to improve education? How to motivate youngsters? He was always into that.
And, would he be happy with, like, everything that's happening today in India? Like, about how, you know, did his vision for the youth come true?
No, I don't know. Because I always feel every country will have some other problem. We should go on. And in democracy, it takes more time. But it is possible to do what we dream. It takes some time. I always believe in it.
Durvesh asks one last question, ma'am. What do you consider a good life?
A contented life is always a good life. Okay. A person who does not have any regret in life.
Okay.
I wish I could have done this. I could have done that. All those things, you know. Whatever God has given me, in that I have done well. I helped to my family. I helped the society. I helped to my country. And, you know, that is a contented life. That is a good life, according to me.
No, beautiful, ma'am. Usually we end this podcast by thanking you and also asking you for three pieces of advice for the younger version of yourself. What would you go back and tell the, you know, 20-year-old version of yourself now with everything you've been through? What is the advice you would give?
Number one, if I were 20 now, I would have learned swimming. I never learned swimming. Okay, or one sport you should learn. Okay. One sport you should learn. And you should learn yoga.
Oh,
now,
wow.
Yoga is... Yoga is so important and I never learned because it was not there when we were young. Okay? Second one. focus on what you want to do. Focus on what you want to do. And when you are working, be ethical. Ethics takes you longer to the path of success than money.
Mm.
Okay? Be ethical. Be honest. Be ethical. Then learn yoga and one sports. Okay? And I used to read that time also. I read now also, so I don't advise. And most importantly, you know, please understand your parents or somebody who is older than you, give some advice. It is not just an advice. They have undergone a lot of difficulties and learned, which is not given in any book. Okay? No one teaches you, only your parents who have unconditional love. They will tell you something, please do this one. And it may not suit you, but at least respect and think over it. Don't think that old people do not have, you know, new ideas. It is not new ideas. They have mature ideas.
Amazing. Thank you, ma'am. You have no idea how grateful I am for this conversation. And just thank you for being on the Ranveer Show. I will link the book's links down below in the podcast description. And I can't...
This book has a lot of COVID time things, so it means a lot today.
No, I'm sure people will check it out. And I think children, especially everywhere, do require these kind of inputs, especially when they're stuck at home, away from school, away from their friends.
Yes.
Ma'am, just on behalf of the youth of this nation, like, we thank you. You're doing a lot. And, you know, in the process of doing as much as you are, sometimes you don't, some people don't take a step back and realize just how much they're doing. So I just want to pause it for 1 second for you and just thank you and allow you to continue on this amazing journey you're on already, ma'am.
Thank you, Ranveer. It was a great thing talking about in your show and talking about life and books. And I'm sure everybody is enjoying that or enjoyed that. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.
Namaste.
Bye. Namaste.
Namaste.